What up? What's going on, everybody? This is Dom Lewis here with another episode of the Philly Sports 444 Podcast. Thank you guys for supporting me and tuning in. Really do appreciate it. And let's see. So the last time we talked, this was right before the... I recorded it right after the Washington series, right when Atlanta had beat the Knicks. And I was saying that I didn't see a way that Atlanta as being the better team than the Sixers going into the next series. And I still feel that way. But the way I feel now, it's going to be a little bit harder than I thought. And it's not a matter of the Sixers being an inferior team in any by any means to the Atlanta Hawks. It's not because I think Trae Young is just a superior player and I feel like he can just dominate the Sixers in any way. I just think it's going to be a little bit harder because it's indeed the second round. Trae Young is a good scorer, and I don't think that ultimately good scorers can be stopped. They can be slowed down. They can be contained to an extent. They cannot be stopped. And he has a way of getting fouls called for him as if a superstar would. And I think that makes the series a little bit harder. But I think ultimately it's still the series. It's still the Sixers series to control. I don't feel disheartened in any way. I said it after the first game. I didn't feel discouraged. Just a little bit upset about how it went. So let's kind of go back. So before the series started, I was like, Atlanta's not the better team. Sixers should roll over this team. They should win it in 5 or 6. I'm giving Atlanta some respect. And rightfully so, giving Atlanta some respect because they came out in the first game and they punched the Sixers in the mouth. They hit 23 pointers, 20 out of 47 for three-pointers. Trae Young had 35 points. And, they led a majority of the game. And the Sixers fought their way back. But I think when you let a team score 128 points on you, ultimately can't win the game. Unless you're like the Brooklyn Nets or something. But they won that first game 128 to 124. And they hit, like I said, they hit 23s. Joel Embiid had a dominant performance that game. But ultimately, like I said, when you're allowing your team to score 128 points on you, and you have a lot of defensive mishaps and a lot of miscues on defense, I think that hurts you. And I think it hurt the Sixers that first game. They adjusted. They came out the second game. They beat them by double digits. 118 to 102. Contained Trae Young that game. He only had 21 points. And I was a little nervous going into Friday's game, which was in Atlanta, the first game in Atlanta. And the Sixers just really... they dominated the second half of the game. I mean, first half was pretty tight, pretty close. Sixers kind of came out in that third quarter and put some defensive shackles on and really got their transition game going. And I think the key to that was Ben Simmons having 11 points in the third quarter alone. And, you know, credit to Devon Givens. He always says it on the radio. And he says it on Twitter. And anywhere you see Devon, he'll say it. Aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons. The aggression of Ben Simmons, it is the best version that you're going to get of Ben Simmons. I don't know what takes him so long in these series to really just put his stamp on and really dominate these one-on-one matchups that he gets. Maybe it's because he's trying to get people involved. Maybe, you know, his defensive assignments are just really, really like, I got to focus on that. But when he puts his game, when he puts a stamp on the game, when he starts dominating offensively in the transition game, going to the rack, when he's dominating these one-on-one matchups, it's the best version of Ben Simmons. And it's, I think it's the best version of the Sixers that you'll get I really do. Because I think that game doesn't get busted wide open if it's not for Ben Simmons in that third quarter. And you need him to be that way if you're going to see any kind of glimpse of a championship. But seeing that game, the last two games, even the second half of the first game, you knew the Sixers would turn it up defensively. I think that the reason I say it's going to be a little bit harder than I thought because, Atlanta has shown me that they can hit some shots. And it's not that I think that they'll shoot the lights out of the building, but I feel like they're role players, the Gallinaris, the bench guys, the Kevin Herders, all that stuff. I think that those guys can hit shots, and they're not afraid to hit those shots. Now, for me, it's up to the Sixers to really stifle them defensively and really give them a headache. It's up to the Sixers to really do that. But these guys have shown me they can hit shots. And they're not afraid of the moment. They weren't afraid that first game. And I was really, really surprised. Like, you're coming into South Philly, game one. Like, there's no way you beat in game one in Philly. And they did just that. And I think that ultimately is the reason I said that the series will be a little bit harder than I thought it would be. It's still the Sixers series to lose. That's how I feel. And I honestly feel like going into game four on Monday, which is now today, going into game four, if the Sixers want to go for the kill, they need to win game four. Like, you want to take the soul from the team, soul out of the Atlanta Hawks, win game four in their building. Sweep them at home. That way, you know, you come home for game five, you know it's all in your hands to win it. I think the momentum dramatically shifts if you win game four. It's going to be tough, though. I think game four is going to be a lot closer than it was for game three. Game three was a really, really good defensive clinic by the Sixers. And I think Trae Young had 28 points in the game three. He had a lot of the points. A good 7 or 8 points in garbage time. But he really had the clamps put on him. And I feel like you can't let him don't give him any kind of daylight. You can't give him any kind of daylight because he is the engine for this team. And if he gets going, they're really tough to stop. You know, like I said, I just think that they're tougher than I thought. And the series will be tougher than I thought it would be. It's still not impossible. It's still not the Sixers are still the better team to me. They're the number one seed for a reason. But it's going to be tougher than I thought. So that's how I start this podcast off. I'm starting it off, but I've been talking for like 10 minutes. But nonetheless, I think so far, you've had a dominant series by Joel Embiid. Just absolutely terrific performances by him. Tobias Harris, I mean, he's so consistent. I think he's only had one game this entire playoffs where he scored under 20 points. But he's so consistent. I mean, and he gives it to you in any kind of way you need it. Like, one-on-one, in transition, long range, mid-range, isolation. It's really, really spectacular to see. Like, I feel like if you need a bucket, you can go to him. Now, I feel like he won't always get you a bucket, but he's going to do what he needs to do. He's going to do his job. The only thing that hurts him is when he puts the ball on the floor too much. But, I mean, having him in isolation, I think it's really, really a benefit to the Sixers. And he's just been so good. He's Mr. Consistent. You know, last year we talked about, you know, would he be able to step up? Would he be able to be the third guy, the third person, the third piece that we needed for the team? And he's done just that. And I give him a ton of credit. And it's probably not anything he really changed in his game, as opposed to just having a new voice. this goes back to coaching. And it's just, Doc Rivers has been such a light for this team. They've changed so much in 1 year. And it's crazy because I had a memory come up on my Facebook the other day. And I was talking about how disappointed I was in the Sixers. This was 2 years ago. I felt like they let an opportunity slip. This is when the Raptors won their championship. And I was disappointed. I was like, I don't know if they'll ever be here again. You know, last year they lost in the first round in the bubble. But now here we are again in the second round. I'm just like, the Sixers are the better team. I know this. I know this. Like, there is no Kawhi Leonard that I need to be scared of. You know, there is no Pascal Siakam that I need to be scared of. Now, granted, the Sixers don't have a Jimmy Butler. But the Sixers still have Joel Embiid. And they still have Ben Simmons. And they still have Tobias Harris. And they got Doc Rivers coaching the team. And I just really, really feel like the Sixers are the better team. I really, really do. And we're here again. And it's a different voice. It's a... The roster hasn't changed dramatically, but it's changed. But just the fact that they can... I mean, they just... They look spectacular defensively. That's the only way I can put it. They look spectacular defensively. You know, besides the first half of the first game, they really look good defensively. And the only other team that I think that's playing like that right now in the playoffs is the Phoenix Suns. Putting the clamps on you on defense. That's the only other team that I think that's doing it. And hopefully we're on a collision course, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but hopefully we're on a collision course for a Suns-Sixers Finals. That's really what I want to see. But I know, it's one step at a time. Right now we got Atlanta, and it's going to be a little tougher than I thought, but the Sixers are still winning. They're just still winning in six. That's how I feel. To say today how I felt about tomorrow's game and the series going forward, man, I think that the Sixers, I hate betting against the Sixers, but I feel like the Sixers probably lose tomorrow's game, the series gets tied up, and then going into, now granted, listen, I want to be wrong, I wanted to be Sixers win game four, win game five at home and rest. Because look, the way it's looking right now, Bucks Nets is probably a good seven. But hopefully the Sixers can win Monday, win on Wednesday, and just rest. Rest Joel Embiid's knee. You know, rest Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, rest our guys. But if I had to, you know, say how I felt about going into tomorrow's game, or Monday's game, I feel like the Sixers probably lose that game. Then they win game five, which will have me on pins and needles at win game five at home, and then win game six in Atlanta. But I feel like the way you win this series and dominate the series and just put them to bed, you win game four. You've already taken control of the series, you know, since the second half of the first game. And now you just have to just really just continue to put the clamps on. I think Atlanta comes out firing tomorrow. That's what I really think. You have to be able to withstand that punch. Because they're going to come out firing. They had a really poor performance in game three. As far as in their home crowd. In front of their home crowd. They got to come out firing for game four. Because they know, like, look. This is tough. It's going to be tough for them. The Sixers, they're going to have to dominate. Continue to put the clamps on. Continue to stifle those others, because I think that you can't stop Trae Young, but the others can't get off. The Gallinaris and the Kevin Herters, they can't get off. The Bellinellis, Bogdanoviches, like those guys can't get off. You can't let those guys get off. The Euros, like you can't let those guys get off. You know, it's got to be Trae Young or nothing. That's how I feel. He's going to get through the line. You know, he's going to get his fouls called. You know, and Sixers are missing Danny Green, which is, you know, he hasn't scored much, but he still is a veteran. He still is a vital piece for this team. And you're going to need the bench to continue to step up because you don't have him anymore. So you're going to need to Shake Milton's and your, you know. You know, last two games, you had Shake Milton scoring 14 and you had Korkmaz scoring 14. So you're going to need the bench to continue to step up in order to give you those, the balance in scoring. And honestly, you're going to need Ben Simmons to continue to be aggressive. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. He's going to have to continue to be aggressive and continue to just say, you know what? I'm better than whoever they put on me. It doesn't matter who guards me. I'm better than that person. I'm going to dominate this person. He has to play like that. He has to get that mindset where I'm full head of steam. I'm going to dominate. I'm not saying he got to go off for 35. No, that's not Ben. But I just need Ben to just dominate. Get us out of game four. We'll take care of game five. That's how I feel like. Ben Simmons, if you can take them through and get them to win for game four, game five will take care of itself back at Wells Fargo Center. Then you have time to rest. Because you know what you're going to get from Joe. Joe going to dominate. Joe not going nowhere. And nobody can guard Joe. Nobody can guard Joe. Nobody. You can double team him. You can triple team him. You can quadruple team him. He ain't going nowhere. He going to dominate. But Ben's going to have to. Ben, if you can get him through game four, game five will take care of itself. That's what I'm going on saying right now on the record. Like, Ben could dominate game four. Game five will take care of itself. But yeah. I watched. It's funny because I really wanted to record this on, I guess, Thursday night, right before the game on Friday. And I was like, man, it's going to be a little tougher than I thought. You know, I had a great analysis from, like, game, I guess game two. I was talking about, let's see if I can pull it up here. I had, like, seven good points about how I felt about the Sixers. I was like, nobody can stop Joel Embiid. Nobody can stop him. I've talked about, I didn't see Danny Green anymore. I didn't see Korkmaz anymore. But turns out we needed those players. The Sixers needed those guys. And yeah, you're going to need your others to continue to step up. You're going to need that. You're going to need the Korkmazes and the Shake Miltons and the Thybulles. You're going to need Thybulles' defense because he's probably going to start now that Danny Green is not going to play. You're probably going to need a Tobias Harris game, you know, going forward. You're going to need that. But he's been consistent, but you're going to need a Tobias Harris game, an actual game from him. I don't know. I mean, there's many keys, I feel, that, you know, in order to win the series. But I think that in order to take the soul from the Atlanta Hawks, they got to win game four. And there's no disrespect to the Hawks. No disrespect to their fans. I think they're a good team. I think they are a really good team. But this is about the Sixers right now, what they need to do in order to dominate. Like I said, you want to take the soul from them, you win game four on their floor. That's it. Game five take care of itself if Ben Simmons can dominate game four. I think the Sixers are right where they should be. And maybe I wouldn't feel so pensive if they won game one and lost game two. I still get a little bit, you know, leery about Joel Embiid and his knee. But he's been playing so dominant. Like, it's like, it doesn't even matter what's going on with his knee. It's spectacular to see what he's doing. It really is spectacular. I'll give you some quick analysis of what I said about game two, and I think a lot of it remains true for game three, or game four coming up. I said Ben has to score more than 4 points. He needs to hit his free throws. Defense is good, but he also needs doing a disservice by scoring 4 points and going 0-4 from the free throw line. And I said I was personally invested in that, which is true. I said the only person that can stop Joel Embiid is my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I didn't mean any disrespect or be blasphemous, because I wasn't trying to do that. But I just meant, like, Joel Embiid can't be stopped by men. Good second half by Shaken Dwight. Yeah. You're going to need Dwight Howard's defense, too. You're going to need him to hit some free throws as well. It's going to take an all-out effort. It really will to win the fourth game in Atlanta. I really do. I talked about Atlanta getting cold. They've been cold the last two games, but I kind of feel like they're going to heat back up a little bit. Not hitting 23s, but I think they'll heat back up a little bit. So I think that's what makes me nervous about game four. Because shooters shoot. Shooters continue to shoot. And you got to shoot your way out of slumps, I feel. Granted, I think a lot of the ways they've been getting cold is because of the defense have been played on them. But if you just continue to shoot, I think you eventually make some. So, you know, Sixers got to just continue to press them. Press them, make them make mistakes. And I said, for game 0.5, I said I didn't see Danny Green or Quick Mice either. But obviously, I was wrong about that. So I think that the Sixers are not as hurt with Danny Green being out, but you're going to need Thybulle to really step up big, and his defense has been really good, but you're going to need him in his starting role to play really strong defense, and you're going to need the offense from Korkmaz. So you're going to need it. Korkmaz, Shake, if Maxie needs some wins, get Maxie in there. You know, Dwight, you're going to need him. You're going to need those guys. I think the biggest key, I'll say this, the biggest key to really holding Atlanta, they can't score more than 110 points a game. I think that's what it comes down to. I really think that a team that lives by the three dies by the three. And a team that is shooting, team like Atlanta, if you can hold them under 110 points, you should be okay. Because the Sixers will score 115 a game. That's how I feel. I said that during my last fight. I said, if you go on between 110 and 115, around there, you'll be okay. I really think the key is holding him under 110 points. Granted, they had 111 in the last game, which is right where you need to be. The game before, they had 102. The game they won, they had 128. So you really got to hold them under 110 points a game. Between, you know, that, well, in that 110, 115 range, if you can hold them there. And I mean, and of course, anything less than that is great. But if you can not let them go past that, I think that you have a really good chance of winning the game. Because I think the Sixers can't be held to a mere 115 points a game. They're going to score more than that. That's how I feel. And Maxie. I think the last part about Maxie, you know, this isn't the series that he had last series. But when he gets in the gym this summer and he really starts hitting, perfecting that three, because a lot of times, you know, the ball gets kicked out to him, he's going to hit those open shots. And when he starts really perfecting it, he's going to be really, really vital to this team. But they got some good pieces, man. They really do. And I think that, like I said, they got to just hold Atlanta to that 110, 115. 110, really. Really 110. And really just continue to stifle them on defense. And if you can get Ben to really carry you through game four, as far as give you the kind of performance he gave you in game three, game five will take care of itself. That's how I feel. That's all I got to say. We'll see what happens game four tomorrow night at 7. It's on TNT. Also on 97.5 at Fanatic. I really miss hearing Ala and Mark Zumoff. I really, really do. Didn't realize how much I missed those guys calling games. But I really do miss them calling games. I really do. Let me just say this. Nikola Jokic is the MVP. And he's had a terrific regular season. And really, really great numbers. And Jamal Murray, who was a vital part of that team, hurt towards ACL. And they still managed, you know, great coaching job by Mike Malone, still, you know, riding the ship to the point where they finished with a 13-5 record, got to the fourth place, fourth seed in the West. But Nikola Jokic to be the MVP of the league couldn't win one game in the second round series. It's almost a disservice to him being MVP. And you guys know how I feel. Like, I feel like Joel Embiid should have been the MVP. Like, I'll fight you. I get why Nikola Jokic was the MVP. I get why Joker was MVP. I understand it. You know, I understand the numbers were good. I understand how, you know, good he is. But to me, personally, I can't say that someone is the MVP of the league and they're not the MVP of their team. I'll say it again. I can't say someone is the MVP of the league and they're not the MVP of their team. I think Jamal Murray is the MVP of that team. I think it proved itself in this series alone, like, you need Jamal Murray. Now, granted, Joel Embiid is the MVP of this team, and last year he got swept by Boston. I understand it. And I think a lot of that was, you know, for whatever reason, if you want to call it making excuses, he wasn't in great shape. Ben being out sucked, all of that. But as an MVP of the league, I think you got to win. And I think, and I'm not, it's not any thought of my own, but I think Chuck said it, and I agreed with him. He said, as the MVP or as a great player, I'm going to win one game. I don't care what you say. I'm going to win one of these games. We might get beat, you know, throughout the entire series, but I'm going to win one game. Not only did they not win a game, Jokic got ejected in the fourth game. Like, in the elimination game, he got ejected from the game for a flagrant two. And maybe that'll make that the screen cover of this podcast. But, like, you can't tell me him being MVP and him being so dominant, all this other stuff, all these other, you know, people want to laud him and all this other stuff. You can't tell me he couldn't win one game against 75-year-old Chris Paul. He couldn't win one game. I don't know. That's something to think about. But anyway, doesn't matter. Lakers got swept by the Suns. Suns, I love that team a lot. I do. See, if the Sixers don't get there, man, I want the Suns to win it all. But hopefully it's Sixers-Suns in the finals. But, you know, it's not go too far. Nets, Bucks, other Eastern Conference series. It's tied up now. Bad news is that Kyrie hurt his ankle today. No telling what's going on with him. I mean, they said he walked out. Excuse me. They said he walked out of the arena with a boot on. That's unfortunate, man. I mean, you know, Kyrie, he gets hurt a lot, you know? So it's just a shame. That might change the series, though, to be honest with you. Because I'm just like, okay, you got Harden being out with his hamstring. You don't, no telling when to come back. Kyrie being out, and now you got Kevin Durant all by himself. And PJ Tucker played pretty good defense on them today. So, series is now tied 2-2, going back to New York. I will say this. Today didn't mean as much to me as people may think. Honestly, to me, what needs to happen is Giannis needs to have this kind of game in New York. You know, game where he's 34-11 or 34-12, whatever he had today. He needs to have that in New York. Because they'll be ready. The Nets are going to be ready for him. Like, I hope you don't think it's sweet because Kyrie's out now. You know, no telling. Kyrie might come back for game 5. I don't know. No telling. But I hope he doesn't think it's sweet now. Like, he's had a bad series. Today was his first good game in the entire series. And the Nets will be ready for him for game five. If I had to put my money on it, I would say the Nets probably win game five. Even without Kyrie, if Kyrie doesn't play. But Giannis, it doesn't matter what he did to me, what he did today. Because game three was a bad game for him. Like, he... to be such a good player, he has some bad games. He does some stupid things to me, for me, like, for what I see. But hey, he's a two-time MVP, former defensive player of the year, you know, whatever kind of stock you put in to all those things. He had a good game today. Series is now tied up. But hey, Giannis, to me, he's going to have to show me he can do this in New York. Today was his first good game in the series, but he's going to have to do this in New York. That's how I see it. And what's the other series that I'm missing? Oh, yeah, Clippers, Utah. Clippers won a pretty big game last night. Paul George and Kawhi had over 30 points. So, obviously, that's a winning combination. They both can score over 30 to, you know, they'll win. Paul George is going to be more consistent. That's all. That's what I see. If they can win, if they can get that kind of consistency out of him for the next game, I think they tie it up, and I think it becomes the best of three. Utah, man, I'm just not sold. I'm just not sold on Utah, man. I'm really not. Like, I'm really not sold on them. And I know you may call me crazy. I understand that. Like, they had the best record in the entire league. I get it. I'm not sold on them. I'm sorry, I'm not. Like, I feel like, okay, they win the series. They're definitely not going to the finals. I can tell you that. They're not going to the finals. They're not going. The Suns are going to the finals. It doesn't matter who comes out of this series. The Suns are going to the finals. But I'm not sold on the Utah Jazz. I'm not. Donovan Mitchell is a great player. Awesome, man. He did his thing in game one. Did his thing in game two. I'm not sold on the Utah Jazz at all. Not. To me, they are probably a better coach team than Atlanta. Probably a better version of the Atlanta Hawks, but they're the same type of team. And they got Gobert, I understand that, but Gobert can't guard any. He can't guard 1-5. He cannot. And we had this, listen, shout out to my frat brothers. I had a good day with them yesterday. I spent a lot of time with them. Shout out to my line brother, Eddie Rock. We celebrated for his 35th birthday yesterday. We had a great time, a great discussion yesterday, all kinds of parts of life we talked about. But we had a discussion about Gobert yesterday. And, like, no one's afraid of this guy. Like, for him to be a defensive player, a numerous time defensive player of the year, no one is afraid to go up against Gobert. No one. No one's afraid to go against him. No one. You're talking about people who won multiple DPOYs. Mutombo. Ben Wallace. It's another guy I'm thinking of. Kawhi didn't win multiple ones. But, man, it was someone else I'm thinking of. But players like that. You knew they were really, really dominant defensive players. And people were like, you know, I don't want to go up against this guy. But no one's afraid to go up against Gobert. Like, someone said it to me yesterday. It's like, when Gobert gets put on, like, Kyrie or something like that, Kyrie's like, thank you. Like, because he knows he's going to cook him. He's going to cook him. Like, he's not guarding these players one-on-one. And that's my whole thing about him winning Defensive Player of the Year. Like, no one's afraid of you, dude. No one's afraid of you. Like, if you got to come out to the perimeter and guard somebody, you're not. You're going to be looking like a fool out there. Like, Ben Simmons put up 42 on you. Like, come on, man. Ben's not even a scorer. So, like, man, whatever. Like, all these awards they gave out this year, the MVP, DPOY, only one I agree with was the most improved player. They gave it to Julius Randle. You know, he deserved it. But, I mean, in the sense of sixth man of the year, Clarkson, he deserved that. But, man, he's the DPOY MVP, whatever. Like, I just feel like, whatever. Who cares at this point? No one's afraid of Gobert. And the Suns weren't afraid of Jokic. They were not afraid of him. He had a 30-20-10 triple-double in game three. And he lost by 14 points. And I get it. He might have been double-teamed and triple-teamed and all the other stuff. But they lost by 14 points in game three. And then tonight they lost by, what, like 7 points, something like that. Oh, they put up a valiant effort when Jokic went out. But they were going to lose with him on the floor. It didn't matter if he was on the floor or not. So, put us right where they should be. Sixers just got to take care of business tomorrow. That's how I feel. Everything else will take care of itself. If they take care of business tomorrow, game five will take care of itself. That's the rule I'm going by. All right? Before I get out of here, let me just say this real fast. The Phillies were undefeated last week. They had four games. They won all four games. They had three walk-off games last week. Incredible. Incredible stuff. And they won today, 7-0 against. They swept the series against the Yankees, which is pretty awesome. But now they got a tough week this week going out west, playing the Dodgers, playing Giants. It's a tough week coming up, but Phillies, I got to give them some love on the pod, man. Hey, they won four straight games. They got back to 500, so that's cool. And it was a game last week where Zach Wheeler pitched a gem. I'm talking about 8 innings, 12 Ks. And they gave up the lead in the 9th inning. Of course, the bullpen. Hector Neris, man. I don't know about that guy. To me, he ain't no closer. Like, Aaron Nola ain't no ace, and he ain't no closer. So, but hey, whatever. Gave it up. But the bats came through for you. And they won. They won in a walk-off fashion. They won 4-3. Segura had two walk-off wins this week by himself. So that's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So I want to give them some love on the pod. That's really all I have for now. I am enjoying the playoffs. Like I said, shout out to the Phillies. And yeah, I'll be back probably next week with another pod. Hopefully I can come back earlier this week, or later on this week, I should say, with another pod, because hopefully the Sixers win it in five, and we can just talk about the next series. All right? But thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for tuning in. You know, the podcast is available on Spotify, Google, Apple, anywhere where you get your podcasts. Also will be available on YouTube. I got to start uploading to YouTube again. So, this time I'm going to make an effort to have the video out at least by Tuesday, or at the latest Tuesday, I should say. The video will be on YouTube, okay? So, thank you guys for tuning in. Follow me on Instagram, follow me on Twitter, on Facebook at 444 Podcast, FOURFOR, the number 4 Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast, like it, share it, and yeah, that's all I got for today. Thank you guys for tuning in. Please share the podcast. That's how we get our listeners up. Share the podcast. Word of mouth is so great. And I do appreciate everyone who like retweets me, shares it, gives me ratings. I appreciate everyone who looks out for me. I really do. All right? Thank you very much. And until next time, y'all. Peace.